This interview is being conducted in the name of the Ballmer Heritage Neighborhood Project in the Northwest Community, site number 3. The interviewer is Alan Berger. The informant is Lee Labowitz Kramer. We are at Levin Slade Avenue. Today is August the 22nd, 1979. Oh, the 22nd. 1979. Tell what you can about father's place of birth.
My father was born 1885 in Kiev, Lithuania, which at that time was governed by Russia. His life there was not very happy, and his aunt in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, sent a ticket for his father to come to America, which would enable him to work and make enough money to send for the rest of the family. But my father, Jacob Labovitz's mother, thought it would be better if she sent my father, who was then 15 years old, to America, since he was more aggressive and she had more confidence in his ability to work, since my grandfather was a Torah student. He believed in study and Torah, which was more important than making a living to support his family. So my father left his home in Lithuania, came to America at the age of 15 years old, went to live with an uncle. And his uncle had gotten him a job in a vest factory where he earned $3 a week. After working a week or two, he felt he would not make enough headway to make enough money to send for his two sisters, brother, and mother and father. So he told his uncle that he would like to look for a better position. When his uncle heard this, he said, "Here, you're only in America a week and you have already become a capitalist." So my father was determined to find a better position, and he did. And he found a position for $3, instead of $3, $9 a week, which was three times as much as he had earned the first week. Does that answer your question?
Why was Ballmer selected as his home?
Well, he had, except that he had an uncle here. And he would not have had any place to live. He hadn't gone to his mother's brother, an uncle, who lived in East Ballmer. So he went there to live, and that was what caused him to stay in Ballmer.
What was the extent of your father's education?
He was determined to learn English and read and write English. So he went to night school working days. He worked during the day, worked at night, go to school at night, and since he was pretty bright, he learned very quickly how to read and write. And one night, he loved music, and he had bought a ticket for the Lyric Theater to hear a very famous violinist. And before he went to the theater, he had read an ad that a cleaning and pressing place was for sale on West Baltimore Street in the 1600 block. So he went to see the place before he went to the Lyric Theater. He liked it very much, and for $150, he bought the place. Then he went to hear the violinist, which he enjoyed very much. He then took in cleaning and pressing, and made a living, and saved all he could, and he thought he needed some help, so he thought he'd send for his brother by the name of Harry, and he would help him make enough to send for the money for the rest of the family. So his brother did come to America. His name was Harry Labovitz. He worked, but it turned out that he was not any help whatsoever. He would get into trouble, and my father would have the trouble of getting him out of trouble, and he was more of a hindrance than a help. And he was really a playboy, and he loved America, but he wasn't any help in making enough. So my father then thought he had to do it, knew he had to do it on his own, which he did. And then he sent for his two sisters, mother and father. They all came over together. He furnished an apartment in East Baltimore for them, and he lived above the store to be near his business. He had rented the entire house, so he was very anxious to work all the hours he could put in so he could make enough money and to support himself and his parents and two sisters. But when his two sisters came over, he had gotten vests from a factory that he brought to a store, and they worked on the vest, piecework. They had gotten so much money for each vest and made enough money to help support the parents and himself.
Was he a single man at that time?
He was a single man, and it took him only 4 years, from 1900 to 1904, to make enough to bring over five people. Then his uncle, not really an uncle, he was a second cousin by the name of Joseph Ziff, said, "Jacob, won't you come with me to Philadelphia? It's the 4th of July. You're not going to keep your business open anyway. It's a holiday. Come with me to Philadelphia so you can meet the rest of my family, my parents and my sister." And he went to Philadelphia in 1904 and met my mother, and he fell in love with her at first sight and proposed to her that very day, and met his relatives, who were really related to him, distant relatives.
Explain the appearance of your first neighborhood.
We lived at 1634 West Baltimore Street until I was 15 years old. During those years, the neighborhood was very beautiful, clean, marble steps at all the residences, and there were only five families that I knew of, Jewish families, from Mountain Baltimore Street to Cary and Baltimore Street, which was about the 1000 block. And there was the Alperstein family, who were very prominent in those years, the Kermish family, who were jewelers in the 1500 block, and the Edelson family on the corner of Mount and West Baltimore Street. And we were in the same block, the Labovitz family. The Davidsons lived on Holland Street. One of our very friendly neighbors was Mr. H.L. Mencken, who lived in the 1500 block of Holland Street, across from Union Square. He was a very intelligent man, and we as children, my four brothers and I, would gather around my father whenever Mr. Mencken would enter our business door. My father would ask us all to gather around and listen to the words of wisdom, Even in that day, my father recognized how intelligent Mr. Mencken was, and he wanted his children to not miss a word he had said. Mr. H.L. Mencken was the editor of the American Mercury, which is a very outstanding magazine. And we as children, all under 12 years old, didn't appreciate everything he had to say, but whatever we did hear stayed with us. My father was his tailor, made all his clothes for him, and the inducement my father gave him was that he would clean and press his suits that my father tailored for him for 1 year absolutely free of charge. But when the year was up, my father never had the heart to tell him that his time had run out. He was still happy to do this for Mr. Mencken because he enjoyed his friendship and enjoyed having him patronize his business. My father was a very intellectual man. My mother was always ready to help and give a hand in the business. And my father loved music. He would, they had received a Victrola, which it was called in those days, a record player today. And he loved to have the record player playing all day long. He loved opera. And he had beautiful opera records, Cavalier Rusticana, Carmen, all the best operas and best singers. Caruso's records were all played, and he instilled in us an appreciation of music. I had a piano since I was 5 years old and had taken lessons for about 10 years. My brother, the eldest brother, Reuben, played the violin. And my three other brothers were not musically inclined, but my father and mother saw to it that we all had some education in music as well as the public school education.
How did the people get along together in the neighborhood?
Very well. There was never any dissension, never any discord. Everyone was friendly, helpful. We patronized each other's businesses. We dealt with the Kermishes, we dealt with the Edelsons, the transfer people, Davidson. We were very friendly with the Appelstein family. Their seven sons and one daughter grew up together with our family. And up until this day, we're still best of friends.
Was there any discrimination at all in the neighborhood?
Never any discrimination. The colored people and the Gentile, the Irish, Catholics, all got along very, very well.
Describe the first house you lived in.
We lived above the store. We had a beautiful dining room with the Tiffany light over the dining room table, which is very popular today. I wish I had it today. And we had a beautiful living room, beautiful furniture, which was bought on the installment plan. And my father bought all his mother and father's furniture on the installment plan from the Mitnick Furniture Store. And what's the name of this man who lived in this building, Mr. Kramer?
Kleiman's
Furniture Store in the 800 block of West Baltimore Street. Bought on the installment plan, and we always had good credit in those days. We never wanted to buy anything on credit, but the furniture was bought on credit and paid for, and we enjoyed a very happy family life. My four brothers and parents all got along.
What conveniences did you have in the house?
We had every convenience except the bathrooms were not modern. We never had modern bathrooms. We would bathe in washtubs. All the children were bathed in washtubs. And we had a lot of love, which is very important in bringing up children. All of us were brought up to feel very secure. There was never a feeling of insecurity. And our parents were very good to us. We never knew what a beating was. we would get a good talking to if we had done anything wrong. But we were never beaten or whipped. We were reprimanded and corrected, and that's all. For heating, we had a stove. What was the name of the... We had a Latrobe stove that was in our living room that also heated our bedrooms. But there wasn't enough heat. I can remember going to bed with my teeth... my teeth chattering, and we had the old-fashioned Paranus, if anyone knows what that is. And we lived a very happy life until the time when my father remodeled his business. We moved into a beautiful home in Walbrook.
In Washington.
Walbrook, and we lived there at 3340 Clifton Avenue for many years. Marble fireplaces, gorgeous hardwood floors, very beautiful home. And one summer, during the remodeling of our business, we lived in Mount Washington for the summer months, like about six months it took to remodel the business. The upper floors were taken into the business because furniture had been put in to our store, besides the tailoring and ladies ready to wear. So we had to live somewhere else during the remodeling period. So we had a beautiful home in Mount Washington on Dixon Avenue. And we were very happy there. It was real suburban life, and we loved it.
What was your first school?
My first school was on number 19 on Frederick Avenue and Fulton Avenue. Then we went to the James Monroe School, number 48.
About what year was that?
I was about 16 years old at the time. I don't know what year, but I was 16. And I graduated number 48. I had gotten a slip to go to prep school, where I could have skipped a year in high school. But my parents preferred that I take a business course at Strayer's Business College. And I went there and studied office management, bookkeeping, penmanship, stenographic work, Greg shorthand, and became very well educated in that field, so that when I entered my father's business at the age of 16, I managed the offices and the help that time.
What were you earning at that time?
$15 a week.
Well, what was a typical day's work then?
A typical day's work was getting up in the morning and making the deposit ready for the bank, checking out the collectors we had who worked for us, who sold merchandise throughout the state of Maryland. As we grew, we took in places like Laurel, Maryland, Rockville, Washington, D.C., Frederick, Maryland, Annapolis, Maryland, until we were able to open up a branch in Annapolis, Maryland on West Street. And then my husband and we were married in 1929 during the Depression, and my husband, Philip, had built up enough business in Annapolis, Maryland to open a store there on West Street. The store was opened, and my eldest brother, Reuben, managed that store. It was very successful until we needed a larger place and moved into 122 Main Street, Annapolis, which today is a three-story building and made a beautiful ladies ready-to-wear specialty shop. Very successful. The second store opened up was a shoe store on Main Street, which was very successful. And a third store was a children's shop of boys and girls and children's wear named Ladd and Lassett.
Were each one of these stores managed by some member of the family?
Yes. Mr. Reuben Labovitz, my eldest brother, 18 months younger than myself, managed the three stores, and they were very successful stores. I had been, by that time, the buyer of the ladies ready-to-wear department, and by the time I was 18 years old, I was buying for 8 stores. The other one was on Fayette and Wolf Street, which Philip Kramer managed, and it was exclusively furniture. Then we bought Diamond Jim Brady's jewelry store on North Utah Street, and the last store, but not least, and still in business, was the Kramer's West End Corporation. It was a jewelry store in the 1100 block West Olmsted.
Okay.
There was another store opened in Frederick, Maryland that Philip Kramer managed. For many years, it consisted of furniture and clothing and was very successful, which made the total 8 stores.
It seems that you were so involved in business all of your life. When did you have time to play your children's games?
Well, truthfully, I was involved in business, but my children were never neglected. Since I was 12 years old, I was involved in business. My father's philosophy was to keep his children occupied. When we'd come home from school, he would have me make boxes, fold up boxes that suits were put into, sweep the floor, roll up the men's clothing cloth as a child, 12 years old. And as the years went on, if he went to New York on a buying trip, he would take me along. We'd stop at the Statler Hotel on 7th Avenue, and we'd go buying together. And he would teach me how to buy. And the manufacturers were amazed. How could you take a child along? Well, what does a child know about business? But he trained me very well since I was 12 years old. To this very day, I use all his methods and all his advice.
Do you regret that you never had a childhood that you...
Never, because I had acquired many good friends as a child that I still am friendly with today. Dora Davidson and Jenny Davidson are my best friends. Betty Alperstein Epstein today is my very dear, closest friend. We all grew up together. Rose Morris, who lived on Arlington Avenue today, is Rose Weinstein, the wife of the journalist Joe Weinstein of the Jewish Times, is one of my best friends. And my friends have always been my dear friends until this day.
What do you remember most about your mother?
I remember my mother telling me that she came over to America when she was 3 years old. They lived in Philadelphia. Her father and mother lived happily, but her mother became very ill, and she was paralyzed for 7 years. And my mother had little brothers named Joseph, Ross, Jacob, and they were young, and she had to practically raise them. So it was not an easy life. And when my father met her and proposed to her, she was very happy. And when she had to move to Baltimore, where my father lived, her father didn't like it because he had no one to take care of the children since his wife was so ill. So they all moved to Baltimore on Gough Street. And the little children didn't like staying home. They followed my mother to her home on West Baltimore Street. And she practically raised them as a young bride. She had these three or four little brothers, and she practically raised them. She worked very hard as far back as I remember. When my father took in cleaning and pressing, he would promise a suit to be ready the same day, And I could see my mother scouring that suit with a brush and soap and water in the summer kitchen, as it was called in those days. And she worked very hard to see that that suit was dried over a stove, and he would press it on a machine and have it ready as he had promised it the same day. What happened in those days? Why is it called arthritis rheumatism? And she got rheumatism and suffered from that. But she was always a very hard-working woman, always helped my father. I could just see the stove in the shop cooking the meals for the four and later five children, and my father sitting on the table as a tailor, and also pressing clothes with his pressing machine, and working very hard in those early years as a child. And I always remember that. And my mother happened to be a very strong, healthy woman and was able to take this kind of heavy work. They didn't have maids or help in those days. And she did live until she was 67 years old, but she should have really lived longer.
What impressed you most about your father?
And what impressed me most, he was very kind to my mother and my father. He always wanted to buy her beautiful clothes. And I can remember there was a stole that day of ostrich feathers that was worn on women's hats. He bought her this beautiful hat with an ostrich feather, and she insisted he take it back because it was too much money and she wasn't going to wear it. And she never liked to dress, and she never liked jewelry. She never liked looking dressed up. I could always see her as a real mother. Her children were her jewels. She loved them dearly. I can remember when she wanted to rest, she'd rock herself in a rocking chair, rocking the children and singing to them.
How large
was the family? We
always felt
secure. And we were five children. And I was the only daughter and four sons.
Did everybody get along together real
well? We all got along well, except as a little kid, I can remember throwing pillows at my brother Reuben, and he throwing them back at me. We used to call him Blizzard because he was very, very energetic and always liked to get into mischief. So my mother decided to send the two of us to the country during the summer so that she could help my father without interference or, you know, being obligated to taking care of us and keeping us out of fight. So we were left with a very stern, Gentile couple in the country, and we lived there where there were cows and chickens, and we lived the country life for 3 months of the year.
What kind of a family did your parents try to create?
A very beautiful family in the respect of honesty, truthfulness. They believed, my mother particularly was a very truthful person. There wasn't such a thing as a white lie in her life. And my father ran a very honest business. He believed in creating a good name. But an interesting story is that one of my father's friends tried to buy his business through the bank without my father knowing it. And a man by the name of John Dulaney, who lived in West Baltimore, came to my father and said, "I can show you how to buy this property for the same amount of money that you're paying rent. Someone else wants to buy it over your head, but I'm giving you first preference, and I'll tell you how to do it." So for $4.50 a week, they would pay in the West End Building and Loan Association and buy the property, and they bought it. And they were very happy they bought it. I think in those days they paid $1,650 for that 1634 West Baltimore.